We'll talk about names in Yiddishkeit. First, to mention the names of my wonderful friends Varda and Avi Thermfu, to thank them for once again opening the home for our learning. It seems hard to believe that almost a year has passed since we were here last time, and the same bracha still applies, and I hope it's working, that Mitzvah Shem, there should be simcha nachas and good health in each and every room. And there should be zayich Mitzvah Shem that our homes, like the Kedushas Levi says, but Ditchava says, that a home that's filled with Torah, that home also goes to Yerushalayim, not just shuls, but when Mashiach comes, even the house will go to Yerushalayim. So we should be zayich Mitzvah Shem to learn Torah in this house in Yerushalayim. The union that we're talking about is of great, great importance. It touches our lives in ways that many other things do not. And every single time that we call a child by a name, or a brother, or a sister, or a parent, it's not just an issue of children. Any time that we're called by our names. What we were talking about at the end 2 weeks ago was the teaching of the Bali HaTosfos. That when you call somebody by his Jewish name, that's actually a tefillah. It's not just in any other language. So this person is Bob, and this person is Linda. They're nice names, but whatever they mean, and whatever the root or source is, in whatever language they come from, it's no more than a way of referring to a person. But that's not the case when we call somebody by a Jewish name. That name is a tefillah, the Bali HaTosfos say, and Rabbeinu Bechai, that's a tefillah. And it's a bracha, that all of the latent and hidden koiches, all the energy that's hidden in that name, and in the letters, and in the gematria, the numerical value, and the letters of the name, when you call the child, or you call your friend, or you call your spouse by the Hebrew name, you are awakening all the infinite koiches, the energy that's hidden in the letters and the meaning of that name. And therefore we ended with 2 weeks ago the teaching of Chazal that we were redeemed from Egypt. One of the reasons that was given is because we didn't change our name. And the names, even though we lost so much in Egypt and we descended into 49 levels of impurity, Chazal make a point to say that Reuven v'Shimon Nachten, Reuven v'Shimon Salkim, which means that we went down as Reuven and Shimon. We had a lot of problems as Reuven and Shimon. But when we left because we held on to those names, Reuven and Shimon. Now the problem, let's continue. We have a lot to talk about. Again, it's not a purely halachic subject. As I mentioned the first time, that so much of this is connected to minhag, is connected to custom, and not to pure halacha. It's not a clearly defined area, as in Hilchos Shabbos, or in the laws of Tefillin, and so on. Here it's more connected to Inyone Kabbalah, things that are rooted in Kabbalah. And without explaining the Kabbalistic concepts, even though we did a little bit in terms of digging a little into the Inyan of names, we did speak last time from the Mori Naim and from the Noam Elimelech. Nevertheless, you have to realize that this is not clear-cut halacha. But I will present when there are different views, and the effect that this all has upon halacha, I will present the different views. Now we're talking about using the Hebrew name, but one of the great difficulties in understanding this is that if we look at this, particularly at the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, it's clear that non-Jewish names were used on a regular basis. Anybody that ever studied Mishnah and Gemara knows that there are names among the Tanoim, the sages of the Talmud and of the Mishnah, there are names that were brought with the Jews from Bavel, from Babylonia. These were names that were brought to Eretz Yisrael. There were names that were affected by their surroundings, just like we have in our culture, Jews who go by non-Jewish names. So, for instance, the names Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther are not purely rooted in Hebrew. You know that her name was Hadassah. He Esther. But Esther is not only is Esther a non-Jewish name in its source, but it's also the name of, it's an idolatrous name. It comes from idolatry. It comes from Avodah Zarah. And yet she had the name Esther. In the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, names such as Agrippus. Anybody who studied Jewish history, Agrippus in the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon, Mundbaz in the Gemara, Antigonus, Hyrcanus. And these were great and righteous people. Dostoy, Sumchus, Rav Papa. Papa, these are not Jewish names, Greek, Latin names. Rav Papa, Rav Papus, these are names that are not Hebrew. So the problem is, if we're making this tremendous campaign, and certainly one of my reasons for teaching this Indian is to try to encourage the use, or at least the partial use, it's some use, of the Hebrew names. So how do we explain the fact that in the Gemara we have great Tanoim and Amoraim who were referred to by non-Jewish names? We have people even in Navi who were referred to by non-Jewish names. The explanation that we have found in the Svarim is as follows. Most of you know that one of the most difficult things is teaching Jewish history or studying Jewish history, because it's very hard to find pleasant or bright moments in between pogroms and inquisitions. The overall story is at times depressing. One of the favorite decrees historically that was carried out against our people was the prohibition of using our names. This was something that, for reasons that we can begin to understand, since the name is the essence, and the name has so much to do with redemption and also with survival during Gaulus, our enemies, without understanding the reason why, felt the need to repress our use of our Jewish names. Therefore, during the periods of Gezeirus Shmad, when there were decrees, forced conversions, when there were mass murders that were taking place, so it was very common that included in the laws against our survival and the laws of observing mitzvahs and keeping Shabbos and so on, included in all of that was very often the decree against using or identifying ourselves by our Jewish names. There are many sources that are brought down in the Svarim to indicate that all of these individuals who had names that were not Jewish had a second name that was Jewish. And there are many sources that indicate that this was the fact, that they, even though there was a name Antigonus or Agrippus, they had other Jewish names, but publicly, they were forced in different cities and different places and times to go by non-Jewish names. Certainly that's not how their mothers referred to them, little Antigonusal, Agrippusal. So they must have referred to them by their Jewish names, and there are many proofs of this. Even Esther Hadassah, it's not clear how was the name Esther being used, even though now it's already become, that name has been accepted by us, and we use it, of course, as a Jewish name, just like we already use the name Alexander. Alexander is used as a Jewish name. We'll talk more about the name Alexander later on, but not today, but at a further time. Over time, there certainly were non-Jewish names that became accepted as Jewish once there were tzaddikim who used the name, even though the beginning of the name was not Jewish. But it's clear that this was more the result of historical, social, political conditions that made it dangerous for Jews to use Jewish names. What's ironic, of course, is that in later generations, in Russia and in Germany, there the Gezeiris, the decrees with Davka, the Jews were forbidden to change their Jewish names. In other words, one of the ways of identifying a Jew and being able to know, besides later on what would take the form of wearing a yellow star, in Russia and in Germany, there were for many, many years in Russia and later on in Germany, there were decrees against the change of a Jewish name, that the Jew should be identified as a Jew. So this is interesting. In history, there were times that we could not go with Jewish names. There were other times that our enemies did not permit us to drop our Jewish names. But in all situations, the Jewish name was significant even in the eyes of the non-Jew. Now, what is actually the halacha concerning the use of calling out children by a non-Jewish name? So you have in front of you most of, I don't know if there's enough, but if you don't have, then you can please share. You have two sides on the page. One is in small Rashi print, you see, and the other is in regular block letters. So let's look first at the one that is in Rashi script. And I dafka want to do these tshuvas. It won't take long, but we must learn them properly inside. As I said, the point here is not just to give a shmooze. This isn't a shmooze. I want you to learn in the source and to understand where the halacha comes from. What you have here in the Rashi Ksav, in the Rashi print, is a tshuva from one of the greatest of our achronim, the most illustrious disciple of the Chassam Sofer, who was called Maharam Shik. Some of you might have heard of him, Maharam Shik. His name, by the way, the name Shik, as the Rosh Teva, stands for Shem Yisrael Kodesh. The name of the Jewish of a Jew is holy. And you'll see that is something that the Maharam Shik himself stood very much for. Shem Yisrael Kodesh, a Jewish name is holy, Maharam Shik. This is a tshuva that he wrote. He was the Rav in Chust in Hungary in the late 19th century. So let's read this on the left-hand side where it says Tshuva Kuf Samech Tes. And then we'll see on the second side of the page is Rav Moshe Feinstein, a tshuva that was written many, many years later. Let's first read the Maharam Shik. Lashana Tov Yikosev Yechosim La'alta Chaim Toi Maruchim Sukonim Rav Tarani Mufluk Marein Rav Meir Kalish. He was writing this, obviously this is at the time of Rosh Hashanah. He was sending a response to a question that was sent to him by this Jew, Rav Meir Kalish. Im Omnan Shein Ani Yodei Lachanos Oso. He says, I don't really know you. So he's first asking for forgiveness. Maybe I didn't address you in a respectful enough way. Nevertheless, I believe that it's necessary to respond to your question. There are Jews who call themselves by non-Jewish names. And your honor, he's writing this letter. You rebuked these people. And you told them, it says in the Medrash, in the merit that our ancestors in Egypt did not change their Jewish names, so we were worthy to leave Egypt. And you've told that to a number of people who are using non-Jewish names. And they've answered you, the answer of these Jews that are using non-Jewish names, and they're called by non-Jewish names, is that, look, you're right, our ancestors didn't change their names. We're not changing a name either. And that's how we're called up to the Torah. So that at least covers the men, that they're called up to the Torah with a Jewish name. And as far as the women are concerned, there was no response that's mentioned here. But the men, in other words, they have a Jewish name. We have a Jewish name. We're not called by that. But when we go to the Torah, we're called by the Jewish name. Or I guess for the girl, by her ksuba on the wedding contract, she's called by her Jewish name. Or if the wedding or if the marriage doesn't work out, then on the divorce, on the get, she'll be called by a Jewish name. So the Maram Shik writes like this: Vized var hevel v'tipshus. What does that mean? This is stupidity. It's an Irishkeit. Ki bevadai yesh beze iser daraisa. Now. I'm doing this Shuvah Maram Shik first, so I don't want any of you to fall off your chair. You should survive and get through to Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shuvah on the other side. But the Maram Shik holds that to use a non-Jewish name is it violating any custom or a medrash. According to the Maram Shik, using a non-Jewish name is forbidden from the Torah itself. It's an Issa Daraisa, Quint Maram Shik, to use a non-Jewish name. Kamosha Kosav Rambam, and he interprets this in the ruling of the Rambam. Not everybody agrees with this interpretation. The Perek Yud Aleph Mehilchas Avodah Zarah. The Mikra Molei Nemar Besof Parshas Kedoshim. It says at the end of Parshas Kedoshim in Chumash, Va'avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim. Hashem says, I have separated you. I have made you different than the nations. Lios Li, to be special to me. Umishom Yalfinim B'Sifri. And from that pasuk, Chazal learn, that it is forbidden for a Jew in any way to try to imitate, to resemble a non-Jew for the purpose of resembling a non-Jew. It doesn't mean if non-Jews use parker pens, so you can't use a parker pen. But the intention is, the intent and the motivation is, I want to be like them. Obviously, to use a pen is just a question of something which is for utilitarian, practical purposes. But here, the Rambam says that if one intentionally is trying to resemble a non-Jew, then the halach is mekol shu osil adamus lahem. Anything that a Jew does with the intention of resembling a non-Jew, over al mashenema b'Torah, is violating the din of the Torah. Da'asalan al-adamash lahem, that is forbidden for us to resemble them or to imitate them. The same way that it's forbidden to imitate their way of dressing. Again, it doesn't mean that you can't be, for instance, the question was asked of Rav Moshe Feinstein, is a Jew allowed to wear, a man, is he allowed to wear a short suit or a jacket, since traditionally Jewish men always wore long clothing. Whether they were Sephardim or they were Ashkenazim, traditionally men wore long clothing. They didn't wear short suits. So Rav Moshe explains that the intention there is not for the purpose of resembling a non-Jew, and there's nothing that's immodest in wearing a short jacket. However, when it comes to clothing as well, we're not going into this, maybe this is an entirely different subject. Certainly a woman is allowed to dress fashionably, that's not the problem. However, if she's dressing immodestly for the purpose of appearing like a non-Jew, that would be an issue deraisa as well. Besides the issue of tznius, of being immodest, there is another problem that when somebody is dressing immodestly, or God forbid, for some reason a person wants to dress like a monk or a nun, a priest, which is to wear a garment of idolatry, or to wear, let's say, the issue of wearing chalila as decoration, to wear a necklace or something that has on it a sign of Avodah Zarah. But we have to be distinguished and different in the way that we dress. B'malbushim u'behilucham, and how we live, u'besharim and hageyim, and all of our customs. So the Maram Shik says, Hu adin. This is the halacha. The kol shekein, and certainly even more so, to osil adamus lahem bishmam, that it is forbidden to use their names, to use non-Jewish names. Va'aleinu lasas kemosha also avaseinu, and therefore we must follow in the ways of our ancestors. Shenemar behem, as it says, and we read it in the Haggadah every Lel Pesach by the Seder, the Pasuk Vihi Sham Legoy Gadol, that we became a great nation over there in Egypt, and the Chazal say, and we read it in the Haggadah, Melamed Shaho Yisrael Mitsuyanim Sham. Mitsuyan here does not mean excellent, like in school, Mitsuyan. The word Mitsuyan in school also doesn't really mean excellent. It means noteworthy, separate, and different. That's, in other words, it's an excellent grade, meaning it's something very, very special. So that when it says in the Haggadah, in the Chumash, that the Jewish people were mitsuyanim sham, that we were different, noteworthy, exceptional, separate. So this is the source of the Chazal that tells us that we did not use their names, we did not use non-Jewish names, we didn't change our language also. We continued to speak Hebrew. Will be Yoser Beer, and let me explain more. Amarti Hakavana, Tihine Behayosi Rav, Tikihila Ke Disha Yargan, when I was Rav of this town, Somerkle Pressburg, that was near Pressburg, Upam Nizdaminly, it once happened, Kshemasarti Hametrical, Lahasar Hamiyudlaze, when I suppose there was some documents that were given to a certain minister, his Shroim Lefanai, this minister, this non-Jewish official, became very upset. Vamar Kilo, no, I guess there were some papers that Maram Shik gave in with names of people from the Kehila that had to be submitted for official purposes. So he says that the non-Jewish official was very angry, and he said what? I don't understand, why do you Jews go with our names? All other people, they respect the names that they receive from their ancestors. You see, even now you'll have people, African Americans, that they'll take on names that they're trying to get back to the root and the source of how they originally went and so on. So he said, this minister, this official said, that all other nations, I see, that they like to use the names of where they come from. Dahainu, whether it's Hungaria or France, Francesia is France. V'chadome kula machshiv and haloshen, all of them are machshiv. They're very serious, and they take very seriously the culture and the language and the names of their origin. Veinu mishan b'shum oifen, and they will never change their names. Because in the eyes of the nations, they're proud. This is their pride. Va'yehudim. But when it comes to Jews, and the non-Jew said, who are the oldest of nations, the most ancient people, In other words, they have the most to be proud of, and they have the richest tradition. So davke kiyumi ha'olam heima boishim atzam, they're embarrassed lihikar b'shem ha'atzam, that they're embarrassed to be known by their Jewish names. Umishanim shmam l'shem ha'umas, and they change their name to our names. V'zelahem g'nai godl. And the official said, in my eyes, this is something which does not reflect positively upon your people. V'lahoye, and the Maram Shik said, v'lahoye b'fi mani l'hoshevlo. He said, I didn't know how to answer him. What I did was, I tried to get out of the conversation by telling him that you're right, it's true, but because of Golus, I suppose this answer, that there were difficulties that we had, and we suffered from the non-Jews. I remember, I was given a non-Jewish name on my birth certificate also. I was given a non-Jewish name. I was never called my, I didn't even know that I had that name till I got to school, and the English teacher started calling me by that name because my mother filled it out on the paper for my English studies, and when I asked my parents, I asked my mother, why do you, you never called me that, why are you giving me that name? So my mother's answer was that we don't want anybody to bother you. So I never, at the time I accepted that, I didn't realize how having a name like Weinberger was going to, why would it help if I wasn't going to be Moshe, But anyway, that was a certain mentality. There was a mentality that is, maybe that, it's bad enough that you have a Jewish last name, so you're going to go around by the Goyim and you're going to be called Moshe, that for sure you're going to have tzaras. This was a way of thinking that many people had. So the Maram Shik says that, he says that's not really a good answer, Maram Shik says, but to get out of this difficult situation that the official put me into, I use the Inyan of Galus, which nowadays really here, even if back in the 50s after the war, and certainly Jews who survived the Holocaust were living with many fears, most of them rational, maybe a few that were irrational, because America, Baruch Hashem, is a wonderful country. So certainly we could find excuses for our parents and grandparents giving names that were not Jewish. But now, thank God, we're living in a time when, Baruch Hashem, other people are able to go with their ancestral names, so why shouldn't we? So the Maram Shik goes on and says, Aval Be'emes, he says, the truth is, my only way of understanding this is, Gam Bezen Eskayim Banu Hakra, that we see in our days the fulfillment of this pasuk in Ha'azinu at the end of the Chumash, Kidur Tahapuchos Hema. You are a generation that reverses itself. V'nahapichu, pumfaker. You are a generation that is upside down, that you reverse yourselves. Bonim lo emun bam. You are children that can't be trusted, it says in Chumash. It's a harsh pasuk, but Hashem says about Jews that they reverse themselves, that they Moshe Kapayas, they reverse themselves and they can't be trusted. Sha'avoseinu, Samram Shik explains, Sha'avoseinu v'chol ha'doros asher lifneihem, our parents, our ancestors, and all the early generations, ha'yaleim ol ha'golus b'sokfo, they suffered terribly from golus, from exile. And nevertheless, they never changed their names. See, he doesn't raise the issue of the fact that in the Gemara there were non-Jewish names. And there were even at times that we showed him some non-Jewish names. He doesn't raise that issue. But he says that even though Golus was so terrible, our ancestors did not change their names. They were never ashamed of their Jewish names. But there could be a difference, because really, in the time of the Gemara, there were specific decrees that if you go with the Jewish name, you could be killed. I mean, so it's not necessarily the same. Father Rabbi says, just the opposite. Our ancestors were proud of their names. The pasuk by Mordechai, it says there was a Jewish man, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan, in the city of Shushan, Ushmo Mordechai, and so on. It says in Chazal that not only was Mordechai not embarrassed to be Jewish, but that he made a crown, and on the crown it was engraved Yehudi, Jew. That's what he engraved on his crown. I'm a Yid, and that's how he went, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abir. And you know that he traveled in the highest, in the most chashuva circles of the government, Mordechai. And our ancestors Observe the din of the Torah not to go in the ways of the non-Jews. Vav d'leschem ha'amim, that Hashem separated us from the non-Jews. Va'achshav, and the Maram Shik says, isn't it ironic that nowadays, shehukal kovid ha'golus, nowadays that golus has become lighter. In his days, where they had plenty of tzaras, it was much worse than, infinitely worse than what anything that we have now. But comparatively speaking, it was better. So he says, nowadays, shehukal kovid ha'golus, vein ha'yisraelim mevuzim ben ha'umas, and Jews are not despised in such a way, or their names are not despised among the nations. Hey, mishanim shmam, devilushanim davka, now they're changing their names and using non-Jewish names. And the language, kedei ladamus atzim lumasolim, to try to resemble the nations of the world. This is hinted at in the pasuk. Ki dorata pukosema, they are a people that reverses themselves. They can't be trusted. What does that mean? Let me explain. The word emun, which means from the word ne'emonus, or emuna, which means to be trusted, right? To be mamin is to believe, but it means to trust. So the simple pshat is that they can't be trusted. You also know, let's go back to that pasuk about Esther Hamalka. So it says, Vayhi omein es hadasa, he Esther. You recognize that word? Vayhi omein. What does it mean, omein? It means to nurse or to raise. It means someone who nurtures. Ba'amana ito. It means to nurture. It's the same thing, to trust in someone. Rabbi Nachman Breslov says a beautiful teaching. He says that when you believe in someone, when you trust in someone, that's how you raise the person. If you don't trust in a child, Rabbi Nachman said, the child will not become great. Only when you believe in the child and trust in the child will that child be able to develop in a healthy way. So the word emuna or laha'amin means not only to trust, but it means to raise and to nurture, to take care of. An omenet. Even in HSL nowadays they use the word omenet. An omenes. So the Maram Shik says that we are a people who reverses ourselves. Bonim lo emun bam, which means what? We don't want to be like those who raised us and brought us up. We don't want to resemble them. And the Maram Shik adds something else. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that you are forbidden to go by the name of a Rasha. A Jew is not allowed to be named with the name of somebody who is wicked, of someone who is evil. Because there's a mitzvah to erase the name of the wicked, that we shouldn't remember their names. Shenemer, it says, Shem Rishoyim Yirkov. The pasuk says, may the name of the wicked be, may it be eradicated, may it be erased, may it rot. Ayin Shem. What about the Jews who use non-Jewish names? So first of all, in the eyes of this Jew, a non-Jew is more choshev, is more important. They're naming after non-Jews. So that itself is a problem. But in addition to that, besides that, Ram Shik is raising the question about where do these names come from? Who are the people you're naming the children after? These names that are being used, for instance, there are Jews, again, I hope none of you are using, you know, because I'm afraid, I don't want to offend anybody. Please don't be offended by anything. We're learning halacha, and obviously if there are things that we didn't learn, but for instance, there's a name that's become popular like Jason. Jason was a Rasha. There are names that are being used that are names of Rishoyim, that are names of wicked people. Now, Farei Me'olam, he says, derech likro shem b'neim of noseim al shem avoseim. Parents always named, we're going to talk about that in a minute, we're always naming after the ancestors, who were tzaddikim, who were elechiyid and God-fearing Jews. Al shem tzaddikim kedoshim, or they named, if it wasn't after a parent or a grandparent, they named after a rebbe, or after a tzaddik, as people still do. Ugonim, a great rabbonim, gedolim, shem hayu achshuvim v'achadolim, they were important in the eyes of our people. In other words, who is important? The name of a rebbe, a tzaddik, a grandfather, a grim. Now they'll still name to call it to the Torah, but they don't use the name. So the kid's name is Hanani Yantiv Lipa, but they call him Jason. His name is really Hanani Yantiv Lipa, and sometimes I can't even get the Jewish name out of a person because most people know. I mean, there are some people that, for some reason, I don't know, caught on that I'll use a non-Jewish name. They seem more comfortable with that. But Bederach Klal, certainly with any young person that I meet, I ask right away. I'll say, what's your name? They'll tell me the name is like, you know, some non-Jewish name. I'll say, no, what's your real name? And sometimes the boy will say, nah, I don't know. Or the girl will say, nah, it's not. It's not. So, no, so tell me your name. And then I'll ask the second question is, do you mind, can I call you by that name? So sometimes the kids are uncomfortable because they're not used to being called by that. But I only ask them that, but I don't really care if they tell me no, because I'll continue anyway to call them by the Jewish name. He says the new generation are embarrassed of their fathers and their grandfathers and the tzaddikim, and they're proud of non-Jewish names and of the non-Jews. Likro shem tzetzayim al shmam. Not you know, someone, there was somebody that I met in the country that named the daughter after Princess Diana. That calls her Diana, and I said, why? That after the princess. That after, so I said, was your baby born on her yard side or something? Like, how'd you come to that? How'd you come to that? And there's someone else that I know very, very well who has an English name, and the mother gave the name because it was a famous movie actress that she happened to enjoy the movie very much. And after she had that movie, after she saw that movie back, 40 years ago, after that movie, so the baby was born a short time later, and she said, you know what? I really enjoyed that movie, and I'm gonna call my daughter so-and-so. And the person feels perfectly comfortable knowing that that's okay. Of course, that's not your real name. You know, your name is, your Jewish name is so-and-so, but especially when it comes to girls, at least a boy in yeshiva, very often the Rebbe will call. Or certainly at least he's called up to the Torah. So a lot of the boys discover the Jewish names when they become bar mitzvah, and they get called up to the Torah by the Jewish name. But as far as a girl's concerned, who's not being called up to the Torah, so how often is her Jewish name going to be used? If not in school or in seminary, but otherwise, if it's not used by her friends and in the home, so b'chlal, she's not going with a Jewish name. So the fact that she officially has a Jewish name, everybody has a Jewish name, but the Maram Shik is very upset and holds it's forbidden from the Torah to call Jews by their non-Jewish names. So he says, Al-Shon Bahareze Bizoyin Godol Avoseim. This is a humiliation, an embarrassment to their ancestors. Kol Echad MiYisrael Shehevi Bikurim HaYikari B'Kol Godol VaYerid Mitzrayim Sham. In the old days, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, any time a Jew would come with the first fruits to Yerushalayim, he would read the verses that the Torah tells us, and he would say, Vahi Sham L'Goy Godol. And then we became a great nation, which means that we were separate and we used only Jewish names. Kuloshan Khashivas, Vahina the Darsha Bisifrisha Mitsuyonam Sham the Haini Meloshan Shame Vahinush Shahini Mitsuyonam Gamkin Bisham, that we kept our Jewish names. Apal Pisha Abdu Imanu Avaidas Parak, even though we were slaves and we were tortured and we were in Golis, we held on to our Jewish names. Afil Hokilo Nosnu Likros Latsum Bisham Hagoim. Fisham Hayudi Lahoilahem Libuz Ulukolon. Jews in those days, in the ancient days, in the earlier years, were not embarrassed of their names. And that's why we were worthy, turn the page over, that's why we were worthy to leave Egypt. This is the view of the Maram Shik. Let me just mention to you, this is also the view of his illustrious Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer. This is quoted also in the Darche Tshuva, one of the greatest Svardish poskim of all time, the Steichemet, Rab Chaim Chizki Medini, from Chevron, also poskim. Svardim were generally very careful, even though it's interesting, and we'll talk about this later on, that there are certain Svardim that had Arabic names as well. We'll talk about that in Mitzvah Shem. But this is, there are many, many poskim who feel this way. The Maharsham, I mentioned last time, but I'll just remind you, the Brzhanerov, the Maharsham, one of the greatest poskim of the last generation, the grandfather of the famous Maggid from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shlomo Shvadron's grandfather, he said that a Jew who uses, he quotes the Maram Shik and the Chassam Sofer, and he says that a Jew who uses a non-Jewish name is preventing the coming of Mashiach. Since the redemption took place by maintaining our Jewish names, using a non-Jewish name is prolonging our exile. This is found in the writings of the Maharsham. And therefore, the Maharsham ruled, halachically, it is forbidden to put on a parochus in the shul when there are names that are being used to honor people who donated, let's say the parochus, the curtain on the Aron Kodesh, right? The curtain. The Maharsham said it's forbidden to have any non-Jewish name on anything that's in the shul. It is forbidden. And that's why the Maram Shik and the Maharsham also said it is forbidden to have on a tombstone any non-Jewish name. And they held that that's forbidden from the Torah. The issue of on a tombstone is even more serious. Again, we'll come to that afterwards. This is a very strong view. I said at the beginning that not everybody agrees with this. Now we're going to learn from Moshe Feinstein. But this is something that needs to be taken seriously. It shouldn't be it shouldn't be taken lightly. The Maram Shik, the Chassam Sofer, were very great poskim. I was zayche, by the way, just on a personal note, my moyel was a grandson, was a descendant of the Maram Shik. His name is Rav Shik. So he was the one that, and he was a big tzaddik, he gave me my Jewish name. Maram Shik, this Maram Shik's great-grandson was the one who gave me my Jewish name. So it has to be taken very seriously. On the other hand, we do have a psak from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Look, I don't know if you can see, there's an asterisk over there in the middle on the right side. Okay. Now, let me tell you what Rav Moshe was dealing with over here. You all heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe was the God of Lador. It's not so long ago that he passed away. Now, Rav Moshe was dealing with the issue of names that are being used on Gittin. Now, as serious as it is that we know our proper Jewish name to have on the marriage certificate, on the ksuba, which is a very serious matter, it's much more complicated if a mistake is made on a get, God forbid. It's much more complicated. Therefore, on a divorce, on a get, lo aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, unless you need that or something, but God forbid, we shouldn't know from it amongst our people. So, I don't take that the wrong way. You know what I mean? I meant no Jew should ever know from such a thing, but if Chas v'Shalom it's bid, I mean, then you should be able to do what you have to do. So there's a very, very serious question about which names are to be included on the get. So there are different ways of writing names on a get. You see, the get also has to include how the person was called. It's not just to write, let's say a woman, let's say her name is Sarah Bela. Okay, so Sarah Bela never went with the name Sarah Bela. She went with the name Shirley. She was never Sarah Bela. So, therefore, since on the get we have to be so specific about how to identify the woman, and the place and so on, everything has to be so clearly spelled out. Even though on a ksuba you would just write Sarah Bela, you would not have to write Shirley. But on the get, we are concerned with the identifying name if she goes by that name and she's commonly referred to by that name with her friends and so on. So with the get, it's very important that these identifying names are included. And Rav Moshe is in a discussion here, which is a very complicated halachic discussion we don't need to go into, regarding the use of non-Jewish names on Gittin, on these documents of divorce. But let's just read this one paragraph. Umitzad etzem hadavar, regarding the issue itself, shemeshanim mishmoseihem l'shemos nochrim, regarding the issue of aside from the whole subject, he says, about what to write on the get, the general problem that Jews are changing their names and using non-Jewish names. Vada yudavar megunim ma'od. Rav Moshe is usually misquoted, like he very, very often is misquoted. People say that Rav Moshe Feinstein has no problem with using a non-Jewish name. You're reading the words that he wrote with his own hand. Vada yudavar megunim ma'od. How do we translate that? It is certainly something which is extremely unappealing. Maguna means ugly, unappealing. He said, it is certainly maguna ma'od. It is unappealing, it is ugly. Me'achas shechazal shibchuza, since we see the Chazal praised us for using our names, Jewish names. V'chishvuzeh mehadvarim shebishvilam nig'olu mimitzrayim. And it was included among those things that made us worthy of redemption. Aval isser mamish lo matzina b'zeh. To say that it's usser, he says, I haven't seen that it should be also. It's interesting, he does not quote the Maram Shik or the Chassam Sofer, that he doesn't quote the Maram Shik, I'm not so surprised. But Moshe Feinstein, in his library, often he writes that I didn't have this Sefer, I didn't have that Sefer. Mm-hmm. There was certain, because he knew completely by heart all of the earliest Svarim, but some of the latest Svarim he simply didn't have. The Chassam Sofer he was completely proficient in. Although the Chassam Sofer does not come out as clearly as his student, the Maram Shik. So Rav Moshe does not bring these poskim. He says, I haven't seen that it should be an Isser Mamish. To say that it's actually forbidden to use a non-Jewish name, Rav Moshe says, I don't agree with that. It's unappealing, it's not good. But to say that it's Usser, that it's an Aveir, he says, I haven't seen that. V'ukama lo shinu es l'shonam. So Rav Moshe has a very interesting way of proving that it's not an Isser. Now remember, the Maram Shik is very, very strong. His proof, in all due respect, we're not worthy, you know, of being stepped upon by him. It's not a very good proof. Let me, in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, it's fantastic. But halachically, Maram Shik made a certain jump. What was the jump that he made? That it says in the Torah that we have to be different than all the Goyim. And it's forbidden from the Torah to try to resemble Goyim, right? And he said, therefore, and he went to the whole Medrash, how we left Egypt, we didn't change our names. What about the fact that the same Medrash says that we didn't change our language. Right? The same Medrash that says we didn't change our names, that's why Hashem took us out of Egypt, also says we didn't change our language. And yet, would anybody say that it's usur to speak English? It's forbidden to speak French? It's forbidden to speak Arabic? There were Rishonim and Sadiqim who wrote Svarim. As the Rav Moshe says, who wrote Svarim? The Rambam wrote, many of his Svarim were written in Arabic. And the Jews were conversant, even though we all agree that there's a mitzvah to speak Lashon HaKodesh. It's certainly wonderful to speak Hebrew. But to say that it's usur? So Rav Moshe says, the same Medrash says that we didn't change our language in Egypt and we were redeemed. The Gamkin Humi Arba Dvarim Chashiv Hashem, that's one of the things that are included there on the list of why we were redeemed. Shechazin and Sha'afshu Mitzvah Ladabir Lashon HaKodesh. We see that even though certainly it is a mitzvah to speak in Lashon HaKodesh, it is a mitzvah to speak Hebrew. Kedisa b'sifri saw Parshas Ekev vulva barashi v'perisha chumisham ala pasuk ledaber bam, that we should use the words of, we should use Hebrew in our speech as well, right? Hebrew means Lashon HaKodesh, doesn't mean, you know, autobus and telephone, that's not Hebrew, but real Hebrew. So I don't know how many people nowadays, you know, are able, you know, real, to know real Hebrew. And this, I don't know if I told this to you the first shia that we gave on the Indian of the Hebrew names, but one of the funniest things that I can remember is when my family went on Aliyah in 1970, it was a week after my bar mitzvah, we went on Aliyah, we moved to Eretz Yisrael. And when we had to take, the second day that we were there, we had to take a shirut, a taxi, from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. And I remember that you know how the chevra over there that they attack you, you know, to hire them. So I was there with my father and mother, my sister, and a taxi driver came up to my father. So he is asking my father, where do you want to go? So my father says to him like this. I remember like yesterday, my father says, Vayomer Anoichi Elecha, which means like in the Chumash, Vayomer, like, you know, thus I said unto you, Hinni Reitze Bezeh, like, behold, I want to Leleches Yerushalayim, to walk towards Yerushalayim. So the guy was like some Yemenite guy, you know, he's a Tayyemini. So he looks at me, he says, Maza. He says, what are you talking about? So I said to my, so my father said to me, he doesn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. He's an Israeli. So I said, yeah, let me try this, Daddy. I remember, so I, you know, I had to, mine wasn't too good either, but at least, like, you know, in school we learned a little Hebrew. My father's Hebrew was beautiful, by the way. He could write beautiful Hebrew. But it's the Hebrew, it's the old style, you know, it's nothing, you know. So there certainly is a mitzvah to speak Lashon HaKodesh. There's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew. Mikomakom enu iser, to say that it's usher to speak another language. Who says it's usher to speak another language? In other words, Rav Moshe is saying that when Chazal say that in the schus of using our language and in the schus of using our names we were redeemed, it means it was a gewaldig, a good thing, and that we were amazing and super duper special people that we did that. But that the Maram Shik jumps to the conclusion to say that it's usher. From there that we see that it's forbidden. And if you use a non-Jewish name, it means that you're resembling a guy, even though we understand the Maram Shik, the ruach of the Maram Shik's words should be taken to heart. Because the Maram Shik was right, that especially in his time, remember when the Enlightenment, that period of the Haskalah was very strong. The Reform movement was gaining strength in Europe. So there's no question that Maram Shik was reacting strongly to what he saw as the embarrassment the Jews had of their past. And he felt that the first thing that they're dropping is their Jewish name. So the Maram Shik was a fierce defender, like his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, of our tradition. And he was living at a time when the Haskalah was getting out of control. And we should take that to heart. And certainly the message of the Maram Shik is very clear. But Rav Moshe says, in Halach it's hard to say such a thing. In Din, it's you're hard-pressed to say such a thing, that it's an Issa Deraisa. He says Jews talk all the time. Jews are talking all the time in non-Jewish languages, even in Yiddish. So the Yiddish, Yiddish, you can make a case. That's a whole interesting. Yiddish is an amazing language because Yiddish is certainly rooted in our people, and it has a very strong connection to many, many words in Tanakh and many words and concepts from Chazal. Nevertheless, even in Yiddish, you'll hear people talking Yiddish, and wherever they happen to come from, so they'll put in all of a sudden English words. My mother's grandmother, Lashalom, she was in America for like 70 years. And she always, when, I remember when we went someplace.
She's walking down the driveway. Uh-huh.
There's a driver that's, if you can remember
red
that.
Blue car in a driveway.
So, what was I saying? Yeah, so she, I remember she would say things like, yeah, das ist sehr ostentatious. Das ist sehr, she would see something fancy, das ist sehr ostentatious. And what is, you know, she must have thought ostentatious was like, by you know, she over the years must have felt it was part of her mamalosh and ostentatious. Or, you know, you'll hear people talking Yiddish, they'll say the ceiling like this, and it, they'll throw in words from the country that they're in. And I'm sure it's the same thing with the people who speak Yiddish and Jews who are from France or from wherever. They have words that came in. But you see, he says that Jews are speaking the language of the country that they live in. From the time that we're in Golis, this is what's done. And even great tzaddikim, v'chaside olam, and great and holy Jews. They didn't speak to each other necessarily in Hebrew. They were tzaddikim who were careful to speak Hebrew always on Shabbos. That on Shabbos they refused to speak any non-Jewish language. But to a large extent, even tzaddikim spoke.
This car blocked me and the driver did a little upset. They went the other way. That's not the car. It's the Acura. The license plate doesn't have the ELP.
Okay, so, Vavgdo Terve Chasidim Lo Dibur Vlashna Kodesh Vayim Repesh Mishnayis The Rambam Reish Chumash Shemashim Shenishkech Menu Chela Godim Vlashna Kodesh Mehadvarim Shlo Husku Bekaroi Vumishim Shlo Dibur Vlashna Kodesh. The Rambam explains there that there are many words in Hebrew that were forgotten over time. Why? Why would so many Hebrew words be forgotten over time? So the Rambam explains, because they were not being used. They were not being used often. Why? Because Jews would take on the language in their conversations of the host country, and they stopped using Lashon HaKodesh except when they were writing the Torah, when they were writing Torah. But in terms of speaking, they were speaking in Arabic countries. Most of the Jews were speaking Arabic to each other, or even in further back Aramaic. And certainly in Ashkenazic countries, Jews spoke Yiddish to each other. When they were writing, they wrote in Lashon HaKodesh, but speaking, they spoke to each other in Yiddish. Therefore, Rav Moshe comes to the conclusion, al pi din, al pi halacha, that even though it's a dover maguna, even though it's not right, it's unappealing, it's not proper, nevertheless, he disagrees with the conclusion of the Maram Shik, who says that it's forbidden, and he says that although it's preferable, it's not strictly speaking, al pi halacha, it is not a problem. Now, where did names come from? Let's go to the next. We have a few minutes. Let's move forward. So this is as far, you know, that's a question of how you feel about it. It's not an iser. Certainly, according to Kabbalah, it's, as we learned before, by using your child's name or your husband's name or your parents' name, it's a tefillah, and you're strengthening all that name means, and it's certainly, everybody agrees, is wonderful. There's a machlok between Rav Moshe and the Maram Shik, whether there's any prohibition involved in using a non-Jewish name on a regular basis. That's where we're holding. Now, the Medrash tells us in Bereishis, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rishonim al yedei shahoyu mishtamshin beruach hakodesh hayu motzi'in l'shem hama'ora. The Medrash, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says in the Medrash that in the earlier days our ancestors had divine inspiration, therefore they were able to give names after events that took place in their lives, as we see in Chumash, right? The names that they were given were names about things that they went through. Ruvain, right? Ra'ah Hashem, Hashem sees how miserable I am. Shimon, right? Shama Hashem, Hashem hears how desperately I want to be loved, and so on. Le'imenu. And Yosef, Osef Elokim Ischer Pasi. Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, right? So we see that the names were being used in Tanakh. Motzin L'Shem HaMa'or, it says in the Medrash. Onu, I'm just reading to you, you don't have this in front of you. The Medrash goes on and says, Onu, Shein, Onu Mishtam Shem Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we no longer have this level of divine inspiration. So Onu Motzin L'Shem Avoseinu. Therefore, we go by the names of our ancestors, our grandfathers and our grandmothers. This is the source and the Medrash for the custom of naming after parents and grandparents, after family. That originally, the names were given in Tanakh, names were given because of things that took place in the lives of the parents. Binyamin ben Oni, the child of my affliction. Aharon, what's Aaron's name? The name Aaron comes from the word hirayon, which means pregnancy. because of the decree of Paro. And there are many, many other names. There are many other names. Gershom is Ger Hayisi, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's son, Gershom, I was a stranger. Ger Hayisi. Ephraim, Hefrani Elokim, Hashem made me great. So these were the names that were being used in Tanakh. Even when it came to the names of how they named cities. Cities were also named by historical events. In Sefer Yeshua, give us Arolos. Arolos is mean that's where they circumcised. They were circumcised, so it was called the mountain of the foreskins. These were names that were Be'er Sheva. So Be'er Sheva, that's where the oath took place, and so on. So places and people were named by events that were taking place in the lives of those who experienced them. Even the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Basia, the daughter of Paro, she saved Moshe Rabbeinu from the river. According to the explanation of Rabbeinu Bechaye over there in Shmos, where does Basia come to such a beautiful name like Moshe? And Moshe Rabbeinu had other names, of course. But where did she come to such a beautiful name? Kimin Amayim Mishisuhu, he was drawn from the water. So she spoke that language, Bechlau. Like, how did Basia come to that? So Rabbeinu Bechaye says that of course she didn't, but Hashem put that name in her mouth that she should call him Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu, the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu is to draw the Jewish people from the water and to draw Torah, which is water also, and so on. All that water means in Moshe Rabbeinu. Kimin Amayim Mishisuhu. So Hashem put that name into her mouth. This custom of calling people after events that the parents went through, calling the children after those events, this was something that persisted to some degree even in the days of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Another thing that was commonly done in the days of the Mishnah and the Gemara was that people would be called by the profession of their parents. So we have a name even to this day. For instance, the Chassam Sofer. What was his name? Schreiber. Rav Moshe Schreiber was his name. Why was he called Schreiber? Because he came from a family of scribes, right? And that's the name, that's why he called it Chassam Sofer, right? So now some of his descendants are Schreiber, some of them are Sofer. They already gave the name Sofer, but the name Schreiber is by profession. Many of the last names that we have now are names that are connected to professions that our ancestors had. When it came to first names, there were also first names that were related, names that were being used that had to do with family professions. And we'll talk more about that later on. This was the custom that was commonly observed in the times of Tanakh and in the earlier period by the Mishnah and the Gemara. Similarly, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says we don't have divine inspiration anymore. We're not on such a level. So therefore, he said it's better that we call after our ancestors. Now, there are also those who have a custom to give a name based upon a name that's found in the parasha of that week or in the haftarah of that week, in the parasha of Shavuot or the haftarah. So, for instance, parasha Shmos. You have a tremendous choice there in Parsha Shmos. You have Moshe, you have Aaron, you have Miriam, you have Shifra, you have Puah, you have Basia, right? It's filled with names, Parsha Shmos. These Parshas now in Chumash, of course, are filled with names, at least of boys, not so many girls, but we have also, that's another question why, I mentioned the last time, why the names Zilpah and Bilhah are not being used by Ashkenazim as they are by Svardim. That's an interesting Shiloh. But anyway, This was a very common custom to name after people who were in the parsha of the week when the baby was born. And just let me, maybe we'll just, another 2 minutes. The Chazon Ish said an interesting thing. The Chazon Ish said that when you name the Chazon Ish preferred giving a name after the parish, and he said that you should know that when you name a child after someone who has passed away from the family, you're doing a taiva for the nifter. That means you're helping the neshama of that person who passed away. But when you name, he says, after somebody from the parasha, you're doing a taiva for the child, for the baby. It's a bigger taiva for the baby. That's what the Chazon Ish said. Nevertheless, the Chazon Ish agreed that if there are parents or grandparents who need a name, that should come first. But he said you should know, because there was somebody who was hesitating to give. He didn't know. He said, I don't know, everybody had a name. Whose name should I use? Maybe I should find some other name to make a name up. So the Chazon Ish says, no, you should try, if you already named the parents, if the grandparents already have names, you should try to use a name from the parsha or from the Haftarah. That according to the Svarim, it has a very powerful effect on helping the child based upon the tzaddik from that parasha, and not only that, but that the child was born dafka at that time. Therefore, we find that Jews that were born on Shabbos, they were called Shabsi. Shabsi, or Shabtai, or Shabtai, that had the name Shabbos. Girls were named Menucha, who were born on Shabbos. Shabbos Yom Menucha. Girls were named Menucha. But there's an interesting name by the Sfardim. I haven't heard by Sfardim nowadays, but there were Sfardish girls who had the name Shabtula, who were born on Shabbos. Shabtula. Girls that were born on Shabbos. Then they had, by the Sfardim, held on to this, because remember, the Sfardim had much less contact with the non-Jewish world than the Ashkenazim. So the Sfardim held on to their Jewish names. Even their last names are usually, very often their last names are very holy. Very often. Even their last names are holy. The Ashkenazim got all mixed up with the nations that we became, unfortunately, mixed in together with. For instance, by the Sfardim, the custom, and it was also in the beginning of Ashkenazim, the custom by children who were born, boys who were born during Elul or Tishrei, were often given the name Rachamim. Rachamim. Child's born during the month of Rachamim. So the child was given the name Rachamim. Ashkenazim had the name, and Sfardim too, Yontiv. I mentioned before, Hanani Yontiv. Yontiv is a name. Pesach, right? Pesach is a name that's commonly given. Sukkot, nobody's called Sukkot that I know of, but they're called after the Ushpizin. Who was the Ushpizin? If it was a boy, Avim Yitzchak Yaakov, etc., who was the Ushpizin of that night of Sukkot, of that day when the baby was born? The Sfardim, what about Sfardim? Sfardim would give names for children who were born on Sukkot. Hadar. Sfardim gave the name Hadar. They have a girl's name Chagit. Those were girls that were born on Sukkot for the Chag. They were called Chagit. These are Sfardim, that the Sfardish held on to these names. Chanukah was used by Sfardim. It still is used by Sfardim. When we were first married, we lived in Kew Garden Hills, and our landlord's name was Chanukah. And I remember my father couldn't stop laughing when I told him, because my father came the first time he introduced him. So I said his name is Chanukah ben Hillel. Zesvadi. So my father said, what, Chanukah? Chanukah? He couldn't get over it. Chanukah? A name, like, you know. So, but the Sfardim have the name Chanukah. They have a name Chanukah. Children that are born Chanukah, Matisyo, Yehudis. These were names that were given of the people from the Yontif. Purim, they were given the name Mordechai, or Esther, Hadassah. In Nisan, they were given the name Nisan, or Nisim. By the Sfardim, it's very often Nisim. By Ashkenazim, it's more Nisan. But these were names that were given based upon times of the year. Children that were born during the 3 weeks, or Tisha B'Av, Menachem, Nechama, Nechemya, all words of comforting, of consoling. It's even brought down in the poskim not to give, the custom was not to give the name Yirmiyahu for a child that was born during the days of Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, because Yirmiyahu is a name that means bitterness, but which is okay, it's a holy name, but if you give it during the 9 days, since Yirmiyahu saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, was considered to be a bad simon to give the name Yirmiyahu to a baby who's born during the 3 weeks. And the rest of the year, the Yirmiyahu is fine, but you shouldn't give it during, the custom was not to give it for a baby who's born then, because it's too strong, because it was a time of Churban, and the name Yirmiyahu means the bitterness of the one who saw the Churban, that's why his name was Yirmiyahu. Al shame that he was going to see the destruction. So therefore, the name Yirmiyahu should not be given when a child is born during that time of the year. Names that are positive names, like Nechama, and Menachem, and Nochum, right? These are names of comforting and of consoling. During Chanukah, Ora, right? And more modern version would be Meira. Names that are given that are Chanukah-dik, that are Lichtig, that are light, that are filled with light, and so on. So what we're going to talk about, Mr. Shem, next week, is to go more into the subject of how did this custom develop and become so popular to call after the davka by the ancestors, and the difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, that Sfardim will call after a living parent and consider that to be the greatest mitzvah, whereas by Ashkenazim it's a serious no-no. How did this develop and where does it come from? And we're going to go into all the issues that have to do with changing the name for someone who's, God forbid, sick, using names during Mishaberichs. Then we're going to spend some time talking about more things in Hasidus, and specifically going through maybe lists and lists of different names if we have time. So I think we're supposed to be here, Mitzvah Shem. Is that true? So thank you, and we'll continue Mitzvah Shem next week, 9 o'clock. Shkai.